الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, the exalted, the majestic, and I ask Allah to exalt the mention, to grant peace, and to send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his righteous companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, or brothers in Islam, perhaps you are all familiar with the phenomena that we suffer from every year. Every year we say to ourselves, this Ramadan will be unlike the last. This Ramadan I will change. This Ramadan I will improve. This Ramadan I will return to Allah. This Ramadan, and we have a whole list of things which we are supposed to do in this Ramadan, which we were not doing in the years before. However, and sure enough, a few days into Ramadan, and we start having flashbacks of our last Ramadan, and the one before, and the one before. And it seems that not only things are not improving, rather for some, things are getting worse. That Ramadan, or this Ramadan, may be even worse than the one before. And we must question ourselves, why is that the case? It is either that Allah's promise is not being fulfilled, or we are not keeping the covenant which we have given to Allah. And we all agree that Allah Azza wa Jalla la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. He does not betray a promise. He does not. Once He promises a slave something, it will inevitably happen. So then the problem must be with us. We are the ones who are not doing what is expected to make this Ramadan unlike the year before. One may wonder why. You feel in yourself strongly that you will make a change, and you are anxious for the days to begin because you're sincere that you want to make that change. However, when the time comes, you're unable to do it. This is because of the fact that we misunderstand our relationship with Allah. If we think that Allah works according to our schedule, according to our desires and intents, then we have misunderstood our relationship with Allah. It doesn't work that way, it works the other way around. We need to customize our lives and our attitudes according to the way of Allah. And the way of Allah is, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And enslave yourself and worship your master until death comes to you. Not only in Ramadan. Not only in Ramadan. So if we abandon our iman, if we don't pay attention to it for 11 months, and then we want suddenly a miracle in the month of Ramadan, we have a misunderstanding of the deen. It doesn't happen that way. Yes, we believe Allah Azza wa Jal does whatever He wills, and He may change the heart of a slave from being totally away from Him to being totally inclined towards Him in the month of Ramadan. But that happens to those who strive as well. That happens to those who make efforts. So my brothers in Islam, we need to realize that the deficiency is in us, not in Allah's promise. We have not been true to Islam the whole year. So when we wanted it the most in Ramadan, we were not being served accordingly. because of our shortcomings. But Allah's praise is due all the time. And we praise Him right now. That we still have around 18 to 20 nights or days of Ramadan. It is not too late to make a change. And I will aim, inshaAllah ta'ala, to provide myself and you with some of the means with which we can fix this Ramadan and make the future ones, inshaAllah ta'ala, better than this one and the ones that preceded it. The first matter which we should realize is the fact that our iman is just like a garment. In an authentic narration in Tabarani al-Hakim, and it was authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily iman wears out. It becomes old in the heart of one of you like a garment, like a pair of pants or a shirt. When you wear it so many times and you wash it so many times, it becomes old. It becomes worn out. You can't really wear it anymore. He said, iman is just like a garment. It wears out inside of you. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So he alayhi salatu salam advised us by saying, so ask Allah to renew iman in your hearts. The first thing we need to realize is that our iman, our faith in Allah is not consistent. Depending on how righteous or wicked we are, our iman will fluctuate. It may go up or it may go down. And one of the means to increase our iman, to get a fresh feeling of iman, is to simply ask Allah to renew our iman. Something that we probably don't ask for at all or very little. But we should do it often. Allahumma jaddid imani. Oh Allah, renew my iman. Allahumma jaddid imani. Oh Allah, renew my iman. Secondly, we need to realize the greatness of the Quran. You see, my brothers in Islam, we don't really know the Quran. We don't really understand the Quran. And you will find that there's a huge gap. There's a huge gap between the individual who understands the Quran in the Arabic language and the one who does not. And you could probably testify to this on your own. It's the book of Allah. It's the speech of Allah. If it were to be sent down on a mountain, the mountain will have to crush. It will have to crush and tremble from the fear of Allah. This Quran which we hear every single night in Ramadan. Almost everyone here hears it every single night, but some of us are standing like a tree. Like a tree with no feelings, and perhaps the trees have more feelings than we do. You all know the branch which used to cry for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to recline on it, when he would give khutbah. Even a branch of a tree had feelings and sentiments. Some of us are even worse than that. Just as Allah described us in the Quran, that some of the stones fall from the fear of Allah. Whereas our hearts, our rough. So the Quran reminders make no difference in our lives. We hear the speech of Allah being recited upon us, and we are busy in the dunya, wandering in our minds, where we will go after Taraweeh, how long the imam is taking, why is this taking so long, when will they change this imam, blah blah blah, the list goes on of junk that one will be thinking about instead of listening to the speech of Allah. But then again, we don't know. We don't know Arabic. Well, why don't we know Arabic? Did we question ourselves? Isn't it time that we learn the language of the deen which we follow? If we were told by our kafil or sponsor or mudir that if you learn some Japanese language, we will triple your salary and we will send you to Japan on vacations often, I am sure almost every one of us will enroll in a Japanese institute in order to learn the Japanese language, because the money will be multiplied. And we will see this as an investment. If someone told you, brother, Japanese? Who will you speak Japanese to in Saudi Arabia? You say, don't worry about that. I will benefit from this language one way or another. I shall learn it. I will put money, I will put time, I will put effort, I will even postpone my marriage until I learn Japanese. But you say to the Muslim, come learn some Arabic. Say, no, I'm too busy, brother. Why? Because no fulus will be increased. That's our mentality. Materialistic mentality. We want everything to be given to us on the spot. Do we not have enough iman that this language will benefit us with Allah on the Day of Judgment? If we learn the Quran in Arabic, my brothers in Islam, wallahi, the salah will be different. Our reaction will be different. When you hear some of the ayat in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, well, for example, just to give you an example, and don't raise your hand and don't answer me. I just want you to realize where we stand. I am sure almost all of you have Surah Al-Adiyat memorized. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. And we come across the ayah, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Don't answer me. How many of us in this masjid know what the word kanood means? Don't answer. The answer is in your heart. How many of us know what the word kanood means? I gave that same question in a lecture. No one raised his hand. Not a brother or a sister or a child raised their hands. We don't know. I don't know. Yes, of course we don't know, brothers and sisters. Brothers, we don't know. Because we're too busy. We're too busy to even realize these last surah which we memorized from the end of the Quran, what they mean. And you know what's ironic? What's ironic is kanood means ungrateful. Verily, the human being is ever to his Lord ungrateful. And this is exactly what we are a manifestation of. We are ungrateful to Allah that He sent down the Quran, and the Muslims are too busy to study it and learn it. These are the realities which we forget about sometimes. And we think we're going straight to Jannah with the way we're living. No, it doesn't happen this way. It doesn't happen this way. What Allah says, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ والله رؤوف بالعباد قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم قل أطيعوا الله والرسول فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين. If we had some sense, if we listen to these ayat, each one of us must be afraid that these ayat may apply to him in one way or another. If we only understood, but we probably hear them in the Ramadan, in Taraweeh, and we have no idea what the Imam is saying. Even though these ayat are very scary. Allah says, on the day where each soul will see what it presented from good before it. Every good deed you did will be presented before you, nothing will be gone. And whatever it did of sins also, it will wish that the distance between that soul and these sins is a vast, long distance. أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. We would wish we could run away from the one sin which we committed. Each sin. We will wish we could run in the opposite direction. But as Allah says, it will be in a kitab, لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. But it will be in a book with you that will not leave, not even the smallest or the biggest of deeds, except that it will record it. This is the fact. Are we ready for this moment? Are we ready with all the sins we commit to meet Allah? So the soul will wish it could run away from these deeds, but it will not be able to do so. Then Allah said, and Allah warns you against Himself. Allah's warning us against Himself. You know what that is? If your boss warned you, you would be shaking in your place. The higher the person in position, the more scared we would become when a warning or a threat comes from him. And this is among the worthless creation. Then what about when the threat comes from Allah Azza wa Jal? The one who controls our breath and our heartbeat and the blink of our eye and the circulation. Everything is by Allah and for Allah. We have zero control. If Allah warns us and threatens us, then what will we do? Nothing. 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 But Allah ends the ayah in a beautiful attribute of His, وَاللَّهُ رَوْفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. But Allah is most compassionate to the slaves. This is why He gives us respite in time. He gives us an opportunity and a delay so we may return to Him. How do you return to Him? How do you revive your relationship with Allah? Allah says in the next ayah, say, if you love Allah, if you truly love Allah, then follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you. And He will forgive you your sins. And I've been using this minbar myself, wallahu alam, for around 2 years right now, reminding the brothers over and over and over again about some of the most basic sunan, and until today only a small minority apply. This is the truth. I'm sorry to tell you the painful sour truth. This minbar has been used by more than one brother to remind us, my brothers in Islam, about Allah's rights and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every week we seem to see the same thing over and over again. Illa man rahim Allah. What do we want? What does it take to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning matters that are obligatory and clear? This is the problem we have. But then Allah told us, that's fine. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. But if you don't, then verily Allah does not love the disbelievers. Allah doesn't care. If we don't obey Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care. We will be the losers. These ayat, my brothers in Islam, if we were to reflect upon them just for a few minutes, it will make a huge difference in our lives. Our lives will change completely. But we don't know, and we don't realize, and we don't make any effort to know or realize. This is the problem. But this Ramadan, it should change inshaAllah ta'ala. Let us make the determination this month, that we will learn the book of Allah, that we will obey Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ayat which I can share with you, my brothers in Islam, from the book of Allah are too many. And the khutbah does not allow to address all of them. But if you read the interpretation of the meaning of the Quran in your own language, you will realize the message of Islam. You can't realize the miracle of the Quran because it cannot be translated. You cannot get the choice of words of Allah because this is the choice of words of Allah, and any other language cannot do it. But you will at least experience some of the sweetness of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So next time we're standing in Taraweeh, we will actually cry. When we hear the speech of Allah, not the speech of the Imam in the dua. A major misconception. Quran is recited, nothing happens. Imam starts crying, everybody else cries. He screams, we scream. What is this? You think this is from the sunnah? No, Habibi. This is not from the sunnah. It is not from the sunnah for the Imam to scream. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will not even respond to the dua. Because this is ta'addi. This is transgression in the dua. We're supposed to ask Allah with a humble voice, with a low voice, in humility and submission. Not by screaming. And everybody else screaming behind the Imam, raising our voices with Ameen. All these are contrary to the sunnah, very popular in the masajid. But what is the point of emphasis? We cry when he speaks, even if we don't know what he's saying. He may be cursing us, and we say Ameen. Ameen, oh Ameen. But when the speech of Allah is decided, what's happening? We don't know. I just want us to realize the problem. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, because we are all in the same shoes. But I want us to realize that there is a problem. Because they say you cannot solve the problem until you admit that there's a problem. If we keep fooling ourselves as Muslims, symptoms that everything is fine, we will never make a change. I want us to realize there's a problem and we need to fix it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us success to do so. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Brothers in Islam, among the means with which we can return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan and truly benefit from the month of Ramadan is by preparing for our salah. I will not address fasting because I'm sure it has been addressed by the imams before and it will be addressed by the imams after inshallah in the month of Ramadan. I want to focus on the salah because the fasting is conditional to the correctness of the salah. If the salah is no good, don't ask about the rest of the deeds, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained when he said that the first thing we will be questioned about on the day of judgment is our salah. If it is sound, everything else will be sound. If it is no good, everything else will be no good. And this includes siyam. Salah. You know, this is amazing. We are here considered as expatriates, as strangers. And it is known that in the month of Ramadan, things are different. Usually you go to the masjid for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, there are two rows, three rows. But you go in Ramadan and what do you see? You find a packed masjid. And you wonder where these people came from. Do these people live in our neighborhood? Are these our relatives? They've been living with us 11 months. We just met them today for the first time in the month of Ramadan. Yani even among those who only worship Allah in Ramadan, they make it a point to come to the salah early. Except this masjid. Wallahi, I'm sad. In the depth of my heart, I walked in here and there are only three rows. I thought because it's Ramadan, things will be different. But it seems that in Ramadan we get even lazier than the rest of the months. What is going on with us, man? What is this laziness? Muslims were opening up lands, fighting for the cause of Allah. Struggling and striving in the month of Ramadan. And we turn it into a month of eating and sleeping and super laziness. I don't understand why. Why, my brothers in Islam? If in the month of Ramadan we are unable to prepare ourselves for the salah adequately, then when will we do so? Why don't we take advantage of this month to learn? Just to learn and apply the idea of going early to the salah. Not only on Jumu'ah, in every single salah. Ya Akhwan, this is a quality of our righteous predecessors. This is something that was mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the quality of the righteous people before. We are not trying to emphasize something that is unimportant. Allah commanded us to establish the salah. And the ulama mentioned establishing the salah begins with the wudu you make at home. With the wudu you make at home. It's part of the iqamah to salah, which you do in the masjid. When are we going to learn to prepare ourselves for the salah? Let me just give you one narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, verily, the salah which you pray in the masjid, in congregation, is 25 times the reward of the salah you pray on your own or in the marketplace. This is for the one who doesn't hear the adhan. If you hear the adhan without the loudspeakers, you must pray in the masjid. Assuming you live far and you don't hear the adhan, still you are being encouraged. The salah in the masjid is 25 times the reward of the salah you do at home by yourself. He said, why? وَذَلِكَ. And this is because whenever you make wudu and you properly make wudu, proper wudu, then you walk to the masjid with every step, Allah will raise you one degree and He will erase one sin. Meaning if it takes you 50 to 100 steps to come to the masjid, that's 100 degrees you're being risen, you're being raised with Allah and 100 sins being erased from your book of deeds. Then he said, alayhi salatu salam, then he comes to the masjid and he prays whatever is prescribed for him to pray. Verily the angels will continue to make dua for him, saying, Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma arhamhu, O Allah, mention him among the closest angels to you. O Allah, have mercy on him. As long as you don't nullify your wudu. Then he said, alayhi salatu salam, and as long as you are waiting for the salah, you are being given the reward of salah. Yani if you came here at 11:30, from the time you walked into this masjid until now, Allah is giving you the reward of continuous prayer. Continuous prayer even when you're sitting down reciting the Quran. So now you're getting the reward of reciting the Quran and the salah even though you're not praying. This is an offer which does not exist anywhere in the world. Nowhere in the world they will give you such an offer. The most they will give you is buy one, get one free. That's the dunya. But Allah gives us something that is unimaginable, and we have zuhd. We don't care, O Allah. This is our attitude. Even if we don't say this with our mouths, this is our behavior and conduct reflects it. We don't care. It's not a big deal. Yes, I understand. Sometimes we come late. I'm not saying that anyone who came late is blameworthy. Allah knows the excuses of the people with excuse. I'm not saying that. I'm speaking, brothers, about our daily attitude. Everyone will be late every now and then. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. But for our daily life, daily salah to be delayed, then no. This hadith alone should change our lives. So after you break your fast in Maghrib, khalas, eat a few dates, have some sambusa, whatever you like to eat, drink that water or juice, and khalas, go to the house of Allah. You say, brother, 40 minutes early? Are you crazy? No, I'm not. But I want myself and you to go to Jannah. Yes, go to the masjid 1 hour early. What do you have to lose? What, are you working between Maghrib and Isha? I don't think so. The only thing we're working is our stomachs. The only thing we're working is how much food we can eat in the month of fasting. The month of fasting became the month of eating for many of the Muslims. No. Leave the food alone. Go to the masjid. Prepare yourself for the salah. And when you go back home from Taraweeh, then you can handle business. And even then, take it easy on yourselves. The month of Ramadan is a month of patience, not a month of eating competitions. These are the qualities we need to instill in our lives so we may better our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many things can be said, but time does not allow. I know you're tired and fasting, I'm not going to make it even longer for you. Brothers in Islam, for Allah's sake, at least these two lessons. Never be negligent about the salah anymore. Never be among those who wait for the last minute to go to the masjid. Train yourself to go early to the salah. Wallahi, you will see blessings from Allah and benefits that those who have experienced it will tell you about. We ask Allah to make us among them. There are so many blessings from Allah, they cannot be counted or even spoken about until you experience it for yourself. But try it. You owe it to yourself to try it. Secondly, let us be determined to learn the Quran. Learn the Arabic language, whatever the Dawah Center provides, or even a foreign institute. Let us put the time and the effort and the wealth if we are able to, so we may learn the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our taraweeh will be a true taraweeh, not simply an hour of complaining about how long the imam takes. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to pardon me and you for our shortcomings and to make us among His righteous servants. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Aqim as-salah.